thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high. When redeemed again every day, how we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, watch like snow at the cross in. Oh, how we will shout, how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. We will sing redemption story with our voices loud and long. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. Oh, how we're gonna shout and how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. The Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet for when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in.
Well, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with the words of the rapture, the Lord coming for us. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Sunday evening End Times Weekly Prophecy Update time. And, of course, without saying, everybody knows what's going on. And so we'll be on it as get you up the most up-to-date information possible on it. And with me in this is Brother Dave Hauser. So there's Dave. Hello, Dave.
Shalom and Maranatha, John.
Shalom and Maranatha, Dave.
Thank you.
Are you all set and ready?
I'm looking at, yes, I am already.
All right. Let me get it over. All right. So we're starting at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Amen, Brother Dave. So whatever Amen. We do for the Lord will have eternal ramifications, because he won't forget it, and it will be brought up when the Lord's given rewards and crowns and all of that. All right, Dave, I want to get over to the Blessed Hope. And then we will start and after I spoke to you this afternoon, I found a tremendous article that I think I want to use, because I want you to lead off first so you get it out of your system, Dave. I don't want you to explode on air. You know what I mean?
Okay. That would be inappropriate.
I want you to be calm, and I want you at a at a high level, not anxiety, but anxiousness. I want you to come from a 1 to 10, I want you to come down to a 10. All right.
Okay.
All right. So here we go. For the grace of God, this is Titus 2, verse, well, I'll just go to verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope is the rapture. The blessed hope is the rapture, and it's the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. All right. So there's so much going on, as everybody, I mean, if you've been breathing in the last, since Friday, you know that there's a big, big explosion here in the Middle East with Israel attacking Iran's nuclear structure there. And Israel had to do it. The day came that they couldn't wait any longer. So, Dave, let's go over the most important things you see developing.
Sure, John. The one thing I want to introduce is a call to action. We're not hallucinating. We've been talking about this, John and I, for over 45 years. And people that listen to the show, their testimony is primarily based on prophecy and the fact that we understand that the ancient Hebrew prophets told us there would be a sequence of events. Well, this is one of the major things that we were looking for. Now, through the shows, through the years, I would mention, gee, we might wake up on a Monday morning. We have the show on Sunday. We may wake up on a Monday morning and Israel will have attacked Iran. Well, we were a couple of days off. I was a couple of days off. It happened on a Friday. Now, this is a suggestion. First, pray about it. Ask the Lord for wisdom. And people that listen to the show have shared their testimony with multiple people, friends, relatives, et cetera, et cetera. The entire world is glued like a laser beam to what's going on right now. It would be a good idea to reshare your testimony with people in a very humble and diplomatic way. My testimony, I saw the movie The Late Great Planet Earth. Orson Welles was the narrator, became the best-selling book of the decade during the 70s. It talks about exactly what's happening. So if that's your testimony, suggest that people get a copy of the book, The Late Great Planet Earth, and tell them something very simple. While you're reading the book, you're going to see news reports. You're going to see Iran and its proxies threatening Israel. An entire chapter on the book on Russia getting nasty, allied with Iran in an adversary relationship with Israel. Big problems in Syria. A global unsolvable problem over Jerusalem, the West Bank, and the Temple Mount. A coming Mideast peace treaty. A global cashless society, pandemics, and the entire planet will be ganging up on Israel. So this is a call to action, immediate action, not next week, tomorrow morning, but pray about it. And it could create a big, big, how can we say, revival. Because people are concerned about what's going on. And I always tell people, gee, there's trouble ahead, but down the road, things are going to work out good. We know the Lord is coming back soon. So, John, getting back onto the subject, where do we start? Where do we start? The one thing that I just saw on I-24 News is that there was a 2.5 magnitude earthquake at the Fordow nuclear reactor, nuclear, how can you say, what is it? A
Weapon
facility,
site.
nuclear facility. Yeah, nuclear facility, okay, caused by a massive explosion. So, Israel, I don't know exactly what they used, but it caused a 2.5 earthquake at the Fordow nuclear reactor. And the one thing I want to focus on is this, okay? Israel just obviously attacked Iran. They hit some of their oil facilities and hit some of their natural gas facilities. So Monday morning, the price of natural gas, the price of oil is probably going to go up. If Israel eliminates Iran's ability to export oil, their economy will completely collapse. They will have no funds. I don't think Iran is going to let Saudi Arabia and the rest of the Persian Gulf nations export oil through the Strait of Hormuz. Even though it's 20 miles wide, the shipping lanes are only 2 miles wide. There's a possibility they could close it down And one critical example, Japan gets 95% of its oil exports through the Strait of Hormuz. What's going to happen to Japan's economy? So, John, you can go on now, too. I'm just a little bit, I'm incredibly excited. Like, you sent me some copies, about 150 copies of your 666 track. I was going to go to the No Kings Now protest. On the way home, I passed by it. It was on Sunrise Highway in Babylon, but it was pouring rain, so I couldn't go. So that afternoon, I went down to the local mall. I was there for about 2 hours, and I gave out about 100 666 tracks. So it was very exciting, and we have to do something. In other words, I ran around. I just had a hip replacement, so I ran around my walker. So if I could do that for 2 hours, John, you know, like I said, this is a call to action, immediate action. So you go ahead, John.
All right. Just before the show, I was checking the news for the latest update, and I hit what I consider a home run here. It was just posted, and here is the article, and it's titled, Iran Calls for an Islamic Army to Wage War on Israel, and warns country will be uninhabitable as it launches third night of strikes, while Tel Aviv calls on the U.S. and the U.K. to help defend itself amid claims Trump vetoed assassination of Supreme Leader. Now, I'm not sure here. I'm a little confused. Let me read this again. Iran calls on Islamic Army to wage war on Israel and warns country will be uninhabitable as it launches third night of strikes. And warns country. Is he talking about Israel or is he talking about Iran? I think it's Iran as it launches third night of strikes. Let me read it to you. And this is right up to date about what Iran's doing now. Iran is looking to form an Islamic army with several other countries in the Middle East as it continues to wage war with Israel. Top Iranian official Mohsen Rezani told Iranian state media that the regime wants to unite with Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, and several other countries to create an Islamic army amid the ongoing conflict against the Jewish state. There are fears the attacks between Israel and Iran, which enter their third day on Sunday night, risk escalating into a wider conflict across the region after two countries continue to trade blows. Israel killed three more high-ranking security figures and destroyed Iran's main nuclear facility in Natanz, along with a number of weapons production sites across Iran. After launching a widespread wave of attacks on Sunday, in response, Iran fired a fresh barrage of strikes which struck several areas across the country, including the capital, Tel Aviv. Iran has warned of a devastating response to Israel attacks and threatened to leave the country uninhabitable before claiming that 224 Iranians had died and more than 1,000 had been injured in the strikes since Friday. It also emerged on Sunday that, according to U.S. officials, Donald Trump vetoed an Israeli plan to kill Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. The officials, speaking on conditions of anonymity, said the Israelis reported that they had an opportunity to kill the top Iranian leader, but Trump waved them off of the plan. Now, I have found out why Trump did that, because he felt that Khamenei is a high religious figure in Shiite Islam, and they would make a martyr out of him and encourage martyr attacks to make this even more intense. And that's why Trump did it. All right, Dave, there we go. I don't know if any of the countries are going to respond. There's real friction between Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Pakistan against Iran, because Iran is Shiite Islam and the other countries are Sunni Islam. And there's a huge gap between the two. But they're calling out, Dave, for an Islamic army to come. What do you think?
Well, John, when you look at Erdogan, the president of Turkey, he is very, very, how can we say, anti-Semitic. He's called for the assassination of Netanyahu, the destruction of Israel, the revival of the Ottoman Empire. So, you know, he might want to join the bandwagon. It's possible because even though, like you mentioned, the Sunnis and the Shiites hate each other, they do have one thing in common, where they want to destroy Israel. So you never know.
Well, yeah, Dave. I mean, you're right, because Erdogan, what does he want to do? He wants to revive the Ottoman Empire, and this time he wants Jerusalem as the capital. I mean, that's a right. driving force. And then the Saddam Hussein wanted to take Jerusalem like Nebuchadnezzar did. That was one of his desires. But the Ayatollahs, I think they want Jerusalem, not necessarily for an empire, but they want Jerusalem because it's such an important city now with Islam, that taking Jerusalem will be part of the ascendancy of Shiite Islam over Sunni Islam. And Pakistan, I don't know. Now, Pakistan has really serious big time serious financial problems. But, and it says in many other countries besides, and several other countries. But the potential there is there, Dave, for a confederation. Now, I don't see this necessarily as the Psalm 83 confederation of states, because that's Egypt, it's Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, all the Palestinians there, they're all part of it, the House of Esau. Lebanon, even it'll extend out to Iraq. This here is a little bit outside of that, Dave, but nonetheless, there is a chance that they may form a confederacy, Dave, against Israel and Jerusalem. What do you think?
Well, like you said, John, it's a good possibility. Their thoughts toward Israel, they're on the same page. Their theological differences could cause a rift, obviously, but Zechariah talks about all nations are going to gather against Jerusalem because of Jerusalem and Judea. And, you know, eventually, regardless of the sequence of events, we know they're going to gather against Israel.
Yeah. What I'm looking for is a united Islamic attack against Israel by the surrounding countries. That would be Zechariah 12. That's what that battle was about. 14. Is all then all nations. There's two battles over Jerusalem.
Right, sure.
Yeah, so there we go, folks. I mean, we'll watch this closely. You know, it might be very tempting for Turkey to join. They might feel with Iran's backing, and if Pakistan comes with them, they might be able to destroy Israel. We'll see, Dave. We're going to watch this every day. We'll see what happens, but this here is something serious to watch, an Islamic army. There's a couple other things here. Huge fire. It says here, watch engulfed by flames following Iran missile attack. That's Haifa. Some serious damage being done to Israel, Dave, by these Iranian attacks. The Iranian intelligence general eliminated by the IDF, and it shows you a picture of Mohammad Kazemi. Iranian security forces discover secret Israeli drone manufacturing site. I think we want to talk about that, Dave. That even is beyond the beepers exploding. Israel actually built drones in Iran to attack Iran, Dave.
They're very sophisticated, John. Very, very sophisticated. You know what's sad? The enemies of Israel actually think they're going to defeat Israel. They're hallucinating. On a 1 to 10, they're a 10. These other guys are Neanderthals. So, you know, you mentioned the beeper attacks, the walkie-talkie attacks. They're so far beyond the Arabs when it comes to intelligence and infiltration and planning these attacks. How is it possible that Israel built drones in Iran to attack Iran? How's that possible? Think about it.
I don't know, Dave.
It's impossible.
I don't know.
Huh?
Right. It's like bizarre, you know?
Right.
But here's what it did, Dave. With those drones, they were able to take out the defense system, the radar positions, and all the generators and that which go with the radar. So they were able to take that out. So when the Israeli plane, they probably took it out like 15 minutes before the Israeli planes arrived. So when the Israeli planes arrived, there was no anti-missile system against them. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing.
Well, they're geniuses, John. They're geniuses.
Yes.
And the Lord is giving them wisdom
yes.
to protect them.
Yes. I mean, that is absolutely incredible. They built a drone. It's a drone. I don't know. I think I said missile. They built a drone factory, folks, in Iran. Israel did. And then they were able to distribute these drones to key locations and time it perfectly to take out these radar sites with the missiles so that the Israeli planes could just fly in free and do what they had to do. Amazing, folks. Oh, I could see if they fired them from Syria, you know, and it took them 4 hours to get there and all. But no, they built them in a factory that built drones in Iran. Absolutely amazing. All right, here's something very interesting also. Middle East expert, Iran lacks the firepower to sustain prolonged war with Israel. A top Middle East expert has said Iran lacks the resources to sustain protracted conflict with Israel. Sina Azadad, a lecturer at George Washington University, said Israel receives the most advanced U.S. weapon systems and European weapon systems and has access to more financial resources. Iran has been able to stage successful attacks in the short term. But with multiple economic sanctions and an arms embargo, even nations friendly to it like Russia and China are likely to support it with military aid, or unlikely. Mr. Azadi explained, Iran has to rely on domestic capacity to build missiles and launch them in large barrages that can overwhelm Israel's air defenses. And I don't believe Iran can sustain this for a long time. Well, I believe what that article definitely looks true, what he's saying here, unless they're getting boatloads of supplies from Russia and China. Iran is on a real, real weak footing here. Dave, any comments about that? Yeah, Dave?
Yeah, John, sorry.
Did you hear what I was sharing about Iran?
Yeah. Well, I had to, my wife had to grab our little chihuahua. There we go. I apologize. Could you repeat it?
No.
Okay.
Basically, Iran does not have the ability to resupply itself
Oh, yeah, I caught that. One interesting thing that I did pick up, supposedly North Korea and China were volunteering to resupply Iran with some materials, supposedly. I don't know if it's actually going to happen. But North Korea is helping the Russians, so maybe they'd want to help the Iranians. And China was going to be shipping a whole bunch of a specific chemical that the Iranians use to make solid fuel rocket engines, you know, so I guess China and North Korea could help them.
Well, we'll see. The only way I think they can get it is through the sea. And, well, no, you see, Israel does not have the Navy to blockade Iran. It would take the United States Navy to blockade Iran. So, yes, Israel, Iran could be supplied if China and North Korea want to resupply it. So there we go. All right. And President Trump and others have been talking about a ceasefire. And Iran has just said that it's not open to ceasefire negotiations. The official, what they're saying now, is there are about four or five main Iranian nuclear sites, and that Israel has taken out, I guess, the main one. It's Narans. I have difficulty pronouncing these names. Natanz is what it looks like. So that's been apparently completely destroyed. And they're going to move on to all the others and completely level. So Israel can get what's ever above ground. And below ground, they can get, 30, 40, 50 feet below ground. But any deeper than that, it takes the 30,000 pound, Dave, the mother of all bombs, they call it, the Moab?
Yes, mother of all bombs, 30,000 pounds.
30,000 pounds.
Right.
And they're so sophisticated. I was reading about this Moab, they call it. What they do is, let's say they have to go down 500 feet to get at this secret Iranian lab. So they drop them in sequence. So the first one is dropped, and then a certain time later, and I don't know what that is, but we'll just say a minute later, the second one is dropped, and then another minute later, the third one is dropped, and they're so precise now that they literally can come in one right on top of the other. So the first one hits, and it busts down, like, we'll say, 100 feet. Then the second one hits, and it goes down another 100 feet. Then the third one is following. They're coming right. They're so accurate now, they come right on top of each other. And finally, when the last one hits, it's designed to take out concrete, reinforced steel, and all of that. And then it blows into the big bunker underground, or the big, whatever you want to call it. And then it just, I mean, the explosion would be absolutely enormous. So the U.S. can do that. Russia can't, Israel can't do it. So there we are, Dave. I think if Iran does something stupid, like attacks one of our, we have bases there that's within reach of Iran, and they attack one of those bases, Dave, that will give, I'll use the word nexus, that'll give President Trump the nexus then to go in and attack Iran. And they'll be incredibly stupid to do it, Dave. And they're not the brightest, but they will be incredibly stupid when they've got Israel all over them. And I would say the United States is just waiting with these, the heavy bombers to come in and finish off everything that's unreachable to Israel, Dave. Comments.
Well, John, the Iranians have already promised that if the United States or any other countries even participate in defending Israel, that could be a red line. And from what I understand, supposedly we're helping Israel shoot down some of these missiles. And I think also the, you know, Britain also. I'm not sure, but I think that's what's happening. And, you know, in the past, Iranian proxies in Iraq have attacked U.S. military bases in Iraq. So it's a volatile situation.
Yeah, Iran may say one thing, but when they see the damage that Israel's inflicting to Iran, and that if they attack a military, a U.S. military base, you've got these long-range heavy bombers. They're on an island south. They're literally like south of Iran and India. It's the Garcia, I think the Spanish name is the name of the island. And it's a military base. And all those bombers are sitting there, Dave. They're just waiting to head up north to get to Iran. So Iran knows this. And it would be, I mean, unless they want to be completely suicidal, they can't do it, Dave. They could say that they want, they can make threats, but I just don't see them doing it unless they, you know, they're gone and they're going to just do it anyways. Yeah, Dave.
Well, it's possible, John. You know, keep in mind, they normally use proxies to do things, and it's possible that the proxies in Iraq, you know, could do something even without the Iranian permission. You know, when you look at what the Houthis have been doing, you know, they've been trying to disrupt maritime traffic in the Red Sea, going through the Suez Canal. They've been shooting drones and missiles at Israel. So, you know, some of these proxies are, how can you say, independent. And, you know, they may do something that could provoke a situation.
Yeah, we'll see, Dave. I mean, this is all in motion right now. Some of it, we're talking like hypothetical now. Okay, this is where we are. This has already happened. And Israel, Dave, I'm going to say furious now, you know, for Iran going after the civilian. Israel is going to maybe hit Iran's scorched earth, Dave. Well, I mean, just take out one system after another until Iran can't function at all. That's what we have here. And if Iran responds to anything, it's going to respond to the attack by the, as they call them, the Zionists. But how much can they take if they can't defend themselves at all? So that's the position we're in now, folks. Israel has got an open shot at Iran. Israel is not going to stop until it's destroyed everything it can of Iran's nuclear program, and not only its nuclear program, but also its long-range missile program. It's two things Israel wants to take out. And Iran, it looks like, Dave, at this point, it's going to be a punching bag, although it can hit back as it's landing some of these missiles in Tel Aviv in particular. So it's not into the future, Dave, it's now. It's now. So the way this is heading, unless it changes, I think you're going to see Israel, well, it's going to take out all the weapon systems akin of Israel, of Iran. It's going to take out any underground bunkers akin that's storing drones and long-range missiles. Israel will start taking out all the communications, the TV, telephone service, the, you know, wild telephone, but yeah, anything like that. Israel will take out the power, and one by one, it'll take out all the major circuits in Iran. It'll take out the ports that Iran won't be able to import and export, especially oil. They'll take out the oil storage tanks, the big gas tanks. Dave, I don't know. They may even take out that nuclear reactor there, Dave, in Bashar, reactor. I think Israel would warn Iran first, shut it down. We're taking it out. So there we are. Any comment there?
Well, exactly like you said, John. Now, the Bashar nuclear reactor is in what it used to be called Ilam, right?
Elam, yes, it is.
Ilam, right, exactly. And it's what, Jeremiah 49, John, that talks about the
Yes.
destruction of Ilam?
Yes, Elam will be destroyed. It'll be destroyed so completely that they're going to have to flee from that area. Now, if you look at a map of Iran, it's made up of two ancient names. One is Elam and the other is Persia. Now, we're all familiar with Persia, but Elam not so much. Although there is a substantial amount of mention of it in the Old Testament. And the main like the Bashir nuclear reactor, that's in Elam. Probably about three out of the five nuclear sites are in Elam. The missile launchers are from Elam. They have their army is most of it's underground, and it's in Elam. The ballistic long range missiles are in Elam, and that's sort of where the center is of the war is right now, Dave, is Elam. But I don't think it will take Israel long to completely destroy Iran, Dave, with taking out its entire infrastructure, entire like the ports, the oil storage tanks, the gas storage tanks. Iran will have nothing left, Dave. Nothing. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, John, if that happens, like I said, Iran is already speaking about possibly shutting down the Strait of Hormuz. If Iran is not able to export oil, which creates basically the majority of their income to run the entire country, they might not be happy about watching oil tankers from Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Oman to go through the Strait of Hormuz. And they don't have to do anything dramatic. They have all these little attack boats. They have missiles on the side of, on the shores and stuff like that. They don't have to do anything too crazy to make it so these ships just won't go through the Strait of Hormuz. Insurance rates could go up. And even just the speculation of them doing this will make oil prices go through the roof. So, it's a very tedious situation, John. We don't know exactly what's going to happen, but anything that has to do with oil, we're already heading, with the tariffs, we're heading to inflation all across the world. And oil and natural gas, if that's added to the problem, it just could create a global economic shock.
Yeah, Dave, and think of a picture of one of these big oil tankers in the Strait of Hormuz sitting there on fire, Dave. Just think of the picture of that, what that would do.
And it's not that hard to do, John. They can
No.
do it.
Yeah, they have the ability to put mines, water mines, the mines that you put in the ocean, like. And when the ships pass by, they have several ways to, like, have the mine attached to the ship. They have magnetic, they have electric impulses that attract it, all sorts of things. And then, of course, Dave, it would be easy pickings for Iran to shoot directly across the Persian Gulf into Saudi Arabia, and one by one take out all those refineries. In a very short time, they could take every refinery out, not take it out, they destroy it, Saudi Arabia. And then forget about the Strait of Hormuz would mean nothing because they can't ship any oil anyways. All right, I have a video here. It's about 5 minutes, and it's from retired General Jack Keane. And I really like, he's
Ooh.
95% of the time, he's right on with great insights. So let's get an update from him about what's going on with Israel and Iran.
Joining me now is four-star general and head of the Institute for the Study of War, General Jack Keane. General, thank you so much for being here. I thought that was pretty stunning that you heard from Roger Marshall that Iran was that close, a week away. How would you assess Rising Lion and this operation?
Yeah, well, certainly it's very impressive. You know, Israel continues to surprise us with the things that they can accomplish. But it's also pretty fundamentally a military operation pretty similar to how we would approach it. The first thing they did is took out and gained air superiority. They had still had some air defense systems of their own, four different types from 50 kilometers to 300 kilometers in range. They're all gone. The Iranian fighters have never challenged Israeli fighters. They know it's no contest. They don't even make an attempt. So Israel can fly any place in Iran unimpeded. They have air superiority. They took down these leadership targets in a brilliant operation. You know, when they fired these missiles into these apartments, they did it all simultaneously because they didn't want any warning that people could bunker. And they were avoiding that. And so to be able to achieve that means that they have, they're inside Iranian security services. They have, their covert operations have penetrated that, and we've known that for a number of years, given all the other covert operations that they've been so successful at. And then the center of gravity certainly is the nuclear enterprise itself and the ballistic missiles that are now raining on Israel. The nuclear enterprise, Maria, is a very complicated target. It would be a complicated target for the United States. It's spread out in excess of 12 sites. And to deal with every one of those sites is a campaign almost in itself. And the Natanz facility, the most prominent and the largest one, has been severely damaged. The Isfahan facility, another one, is in progress of being severely damaged. They're working extensively on it. They have significant amount of enriched uranium. Now, what the Iranians do, and they're smart about this because they knew at some point they're likely going to be attacked, they spread out their centrifuges at multiple sites, and they spread out their enriched uranium at multiple sites. So it's not, there's no easy target to go down and take one or two sites. And they haven't hit the Iraq facility at all yet. And Fordow, which is deeply buried a half a mile into the ground, is clearly a major impediment and obstacle for the Israelis, given the depth of that target. So the majority of Iran's nuclear enterprise is still intact. That's the message. That means we're in the early stages of a campaign here. This is not a one or two, 3 day limited attack. This is a campaign that we're watching unfold before our eyes. And the other target that Israel is reaching out to is energy targets. That means oil and gas. And they're hitting both of those now and likely to be expanded. So that's the target set that Israel has. They're not targeting the regime. They could literally take the civilian leadership down, I believe, if they wanted to. I think they have hands off of that, and they do not want to martyr that leadership and have all of those proxies consolidate once again to come after Israel, given the passion and fuel that would be energized by taking down the supreme leader and his cohorts. I think that's a good decision. I know other people would like to see that happen, but you got to think through the strategy and what the implications of that are.
This is incredible information that you're giving to us, General. Thank you. I want to get back to what you mentioned on the Fordow nuclear site, which is the nuclear facilities that are deep underground in Iran. What is the danger of attacking and trying to get at that nuclear site underground, the danger in terms of the environment? And what is the U.S.'s role? I know that you've spoken with President Trump this weekend. What should the U.S. be doing in terms of supporting Israel's attempts to get at that very significant nuclear site underground called Fordow?
Yeah, sure, certainly. Well, my conversations with the president are his conversations once I begin that, and I don't discuss those. But I think the U.S. role right now certainly is appropriate. We have provided intelligence. We've been providing logistics and munitions to Israelis, you know, ever since the conflict started back in October. And when President Trump came in, he removed the restrictions the Biden administration had put on munitions that Israel needed. And obviously, those munitions are being used in this operation. So thankfully, they have what they need to have. And if they need more, they'll get more. The United States is all in on that. And certainly, we're taking up a very defensive role to help deal with the ballistic missiles. The ballistic missiles is a complicated enterprise. That is the only system that they have that can now hurt Israel. These drones are irrelevant. It ate 8 hours to get there. Ballistic missiles, on average, 11 minutes. Mm. And ballistic missiles have, you know, significant accuracy, depending on the quality of that particular missile. In October, they fired 200 at the Israelis and 40 penetrated. Not a lot of public recognition of that because the Israelis were very concerned. Hmm. Those missiles fell in the desert near Air Force bases and the Mossad headquarters. One person killed, not much damage.
Okay.
This target is very, very complex in terms of what they're dealing with. I also think dealing with the Fordow facility, yes. I believe if Israel is asking for penetration bombing, we should give them penetration bombing so they can complete the damage and destruction of this nuclear enterprise. We should not leave that site intact so the Iranians can recover and rebuild. That will be their objective, and we should take that off the board once and for all.
Understood. General, great to see you. Thank you so much for your insights, as always. Four-star General Jack Keane.
Dave, were you able to follow General Keane?
Yes. Yeah, very, very accurate about what's going on. He's very perceptive, and he's right on basically about what they're talking about. He knows what's going on, and he knows what Israel has to do. And I saw right before the show, I was watching I-24 News, and Iran, instead of shooting like 100 missiles, tonight I think they only shot 28 missiles, and the spokesman from I-24, the news reporter, basically said they're probably doing that because they realize this is going to be a long-term war. It's not going to be over in a day or two. So they're kind of like, you know, they have hundreds of missiles, but they don't want to use them all at once. So, yeah, this is going to be going on for a while, John. It's not going to be quick.
Yeah, Dave, from what I understand, I guess it would be the estimates, but Israel really knows about Iran. They have 2,000, Dave,
right,
of the long-range missiles that they can fire at Israel.
Right.
So that's a substantial amount, you know?
Oh, sure.
And they might
Israel's
not-
trying to take out some of their you know, stockpiles, but we mentioned earlier in the show that North Korea possibly could send some more. They have plenty of missiles. North Korea does. So, and China. So, I don't think they're going to run out of materials, John. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. Well, we'll wait and see. But we'll take this day by day. But here's the drawback that Israel has in this. I don't see any way that Israel can send its land army there to, like, take over, go into, like, where these missile batteries are. And a lot of them are under the ground and hard for Israel to reach. They don't have an army that can do that, Dave. So, well, in fact, neither does Iran. But so Israel's got to fight this like tech, with high tech, Dave.
Yeah, exactly like you said, John. Number one, it's like over 1,000 miles away. And I saw an interesting video about Iran's topography. You know, it's very difficult. They have deserts. They have huge mountain ranges. It's not easy to invade Iran.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Israel could only use high tech to get at Iran. That's because usually you'd have like the ground army go in. You know, the planes would be effective in softening things up and taking a lot of targets out, but you'd have to send the ground army. Israel can't do that. So that's a big drawback. All right, Dave, another this hasn't gotten much attention, but the Houthis have fired some missiles at Israel. and Israel counterattack. Now, did you are you aware of that, Dave?
Yeah, I saw that, and they're basically, you know, Iranian proxies, and they're very concerned, you know, what Israel is doing to Iran. You know, the main thing with the Houthis, they're backing Hamas, you know, the Palestinians in Hamas in Gaza, and, you know, they're just, you know, very upset about what Israel's doing with the West Bank. But, you know, it's an Iranian proxy, so that's what they're doing. They're trying to support Iran.
Well, what I thought was interesting is apparently Israel was able to zero in on the military leader, Mohammed. Here's a name for you, Mohammed Abid al-Karim al-Garini. How's that for a name? Anyways.
Don't ask me to pronounce it, John.
Right. They targeted him to take him out. Now, that's amazing, Dave. How can they target him? They're how many miles away across the Saudi Arabia? And they attacked kind of simultaneously while attacking Iran. And that hasn't gotten any publicity, but Israel is attacking the Houthis in Yemen while they're also attacking the Iranians there in Iran. I thought that was very significant that they're able to do both at the same time.
Well, John, through the months, Houthis have been firing either ballistic missiles or drones, you know, toward Israel. And Israel's response has been pretty catastrophic for the Houthis. They've been attacking their ports, attacking their, you know, oil storage, their, you know, electric generation plants. Israel's been very, very aggressive against the Houthis. So, you know, Iran has an axis of evil surrounding Israel. You don't hear much from Hezbollah much more in Lebanon. They got nailed. Hamas occasionally now shoots one or two missiles, as opposed to way back when they were shooting tons of missiles. The Houthis are just doing a little bit. But Israel, and, you know, look what happened with Syria. Israel now has a buffer zone in the Golan Heights, and Bashar Assad is gone. So, you know, Israel kind of took out, you know, a lot of these surrounding enemies. But now, obviously, they can focus on Iran.
Well, Dave, you can see God's handiwork in this, because if all of this could have happened at the same time, if Iran could have full out attacked Israel with all its missiles and drones, and so did Hamas and Hezbollah, and Syria joined in, and you had Hamas's army, you know, that active, it could be a real ugly day for Israel. I mean, Israel might have gotten overwhelmed by it, but you could kind of see how when Israel was finished with, well, almost finished, but pretty well finished with Gaza and Hezbollah, and well, what was going on in Lebanon and Syria, Assad is gone. And now they're kind of free to directly deal with Iran. Do you see that, Dave, that pattern there?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the war with Gaza, it started, October 7th, 2024. So it's been...
No, 23.
I know. 23. Yeah, I'm sorry?
23.
Yeah, right. It's been going on, you know, for a long, long time. So it's been a process, but Israel has been taking out these proxies.
So every day we'll watch this closely to see what's going on. But this is a dogfight with Israel now, Dave. And hopefully this won't be drawn out real long, and Israel can stop Iran quickly now. But I'm a little bit surprised at the amount of Iranian missiles that have gotten through Israel's defenses, and they've taken out blocks of houses in Tel Aviv and Haifa. Dave, some serious damage is being done to Israel.
Yeah, John, I have two friends that are actually in Tel Aviv. I called, it's Eileen and Shlomo Huber. I called them today, and they're about two or three blocks away from what they've been showing you on Fox News with the destruction of the apartment buildings. And I suggested to them that, you know, obviously the airports are closed. They can't get out that way. I suggested, hey, see if you can get on a cruise. But Shlomo was in the 1973 war. They have an apartment there. And they don't seem to be too concerned, which to me is very, very unusual. But I guess they're used to all this stuff happening. They live on the island, but they have an apartment in Tel Aviv. So I've been talking to them about prophecy for a long time. I've given them copies of your books, and just have to pray that the light bulb goes on, you know?
Well, and Dave, we're coming up on actually this is being led by France at the UN.
Right.
And Germany's involved, Saudi Arabia's involved, I think England's involved, and possibly Canada. And they've, through Marcon from France, they have been threatening to force a Palestinian state on Israel this month, a little later this month. Have you been following that, Dave?
Yes, John, in the United Nations. And you mentioned right now that they're, modifying their requests.
Yeah. Here's the article. Trump officials warn Marcon, do not insult him with Palestinian state. So there's been a direct confrontation between Trump and Marcon over Israel, particularly the West Bank, but it's Judea and Samaria, who create a Palestinian state. So Trump really came hard on Marcon. I'll read the article. It's really interesting. And then, well, Dave, the hour went fast. Here, the Americans raised the tone and in recent weeks pressured reaching the levels of threats arrived at the, it's the French headquarters. According to the American source, in one of the conversations, it was told to the French that if during the New York conference on U.S. soil, there would be a recognition of a Palestinian state, even by one Western country, this would be considered a personal insult to President Donald Trump. When the French response was not sufficient, the Americans made it clear that there would be harsh response to the move. Here they understood the situation in Paris and began trying to cut their losses. Among other things, they held conversations and briefings in Israel with journalists and tried to emphasize the positive side of recognizing a recognition of Israeli demands. So that's stuff going on behind the scenes, Dave, where, again, President Trump is standing with Israel in a very positive and good way, Dave. You don't want
that's a good thing.
A Palestinian state forced on Israel, because that's recognizing what Hamas and Hezbollah were doing.
Right. Sure.
All right, Dave. Well, that covers it. Do you have anything else you want to share about Israel, the Middle East, Iran?
Well, I think we went over everything in minute detail, John. But just want to review what I spoke about earlier in the show. Not to go over the whole thing, but this is an opportunity to review your testimony with friends and families, because they're glued to what's happening in the Middle East, and you could remind them this is what we've been talking about. And if you're older and you've read the book The Late Great Planet Earth from 55 years ago, okay, you can recommend that it's the best-selling book of the decade. While they're reading the book, they're going to see news reports. No group to join, but it basically specifically gives you detail about what's happening. So it's an important thing to do, John. So a little update on the shipping department. The shipping department is very, very active in getting requests for materials. The pastors from Kenya, but we're also getting requests from like three or four other countries in Africa, primarily Africa, but we don't have funds. So this would be a good time to help support the shipping department, because when we do send the materials to Africa, people get saved. It's very, very simple. It's not like we're thinking about that it's going to happen. We know they're going to get saved because they send us pictures, testimonies, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the story, John. So is Brother Greg there?
Let me take a look. Brother Greg is not here.
All right. I'll give him a quick call. So, John, I'll talk to you during the week, and God bless everybody for listening.
Yeah, God bless you, Dave. All right, let's go into the second hour now. And what I have in the second hour is a load of more information, a lot about what's going on here in America. But I also, let me take a look first to see if I updated about what's going on. I'm just looking here. Oh, all right. Yeah, there's a couple things I want to mention about the Ukraine war. And all right. So what I have is a statement by Tulsi Gabbard, the intelligence chief, and she was making comments about how the world is really surging towards the potential of nuclear war. And she's concerned about all these hotspots. And of course, one would be Israel and Iran. But the she was just saying that it's not calming down. These potential wars are accelerating. And she was very concerned about potential for nuclear weapons being used in the very, very, very near future. All right, so I'll just let that go with that. Now, the a count came out of how many Russian soldiers have died in the Ukraine war and how many were incapacitated that they couldn't like function anymore as soldiers. And then the round number for it is 1 million folks. And that's not counting, you know, ones that were wounded. All right, they recovered. But 1 million, that is incredible. All right, I'll just read here what the article says. The title is Putin's Ukraine War Toll Tops 1 Million. Russians Dead and Wounded. 40 months into a days-long operation with no end in sight. So if you remember back in 2022, that would be February, it looked like Russia was going to roll right into Ukraine and just conquer everything. But Russia's army was tested, and it just was not good, folks. It's amazing when you see how the Russians, on paper, they had this tremendous army, but when they actually got in combat with the Ukrainians, which are tiny compared to the Russians, the Russian army fell apart. So, okay, now here's from the article. Under Ukraine's fierce resistance has ensured Russia has paid a mighty toll for every inch of land it has taken. And its advances remain painfully slow. The staggering milestone include troops who have been killed or wounded so severely that they cannot fight on. According to the Ukrainian General Staff, 1 million Russian troops have been put out of action since February 24, 2022, with 628 of those casualties occurring in the last 6 months. That's incredible. Burning through 1 million troops has won Putin just 20% of Ukraine's total territory. mainly in southern and eastern areas, which is a humiliating conversion rate. Despite the devastating losses, which have already ripped a scar in Russian society, experts fear that Putin is likely unaffected by these numbers because mass sacrifice is ingrained in his battle plan. But folks, that is a million soldiers are either been killed or been wounded so severely that they can no longer fight. That's absolutely incredible. There's just massive, the Ukrainians were able to do something like the Russian, like the Israelis did in Iran. The Ukrainians got their drones deep inland into Russia and destroyed about 45 of Russia's top planes, including surveillance planes that are desperately needed for electronic surveillance. So Russia has been severely damaged by the Ukraine using drones, very similar to what Israel has done to Iran. But I don't see anything here significant, what I call wars and rumors of wars. So let's go over and take a look at critical information. And don't tell me I don't have it here. I do have it here. All right. Now, there's a tremendous amount of information happening on various fronts, folks. I mean, I posted a lot of information out there, but one of them is bizarre. And this is, you may have picked this up. Here's the headline. Two Democrat Minnesota lawmakers shot, attacked by man dressed as a policeman. Now, both the lawmakers, one was killed and the other was severely wounded. The one that was killed, she was the speaker of the Minnesota House, a representative. And the other one was either a representative or a state senator. So the speaker, she was killed and her husband was killed. And this man, they know who he is, and he's a Democrat appointed by Governor Waltz. It's amazing. This was unfolding. So what happened? There was a bruising political battle in Minnesota over, the illegal aliens getting welfare and all that. And, this woman here, whose name I just can't, well, maybe I can get it from you. Let me see. Her name, the speaker of the house's name is, a murder, but I think she goes by Melissa Hoffman. And the other one's name, I don't know, doesn't say. But anyways, he dressed up as a police officer and knocked on the door under some emergency, threat, or whatever emergency happened. And then he shot and killed both of them, her and her husband. Then he went to the other house and he got in same way. But he hit them a number of times with the gun, with the bullet. But apparently he didn't hit a vital organ, but they've been severely wounded with many bullets. And this is really touching. The woman, now she's a senator, state senator. The gunman was going to kill her daughter. Her daughter was there visiting. She was 20-something years old. And she fell on her daughter. It took a couple bullets for the daughter, but they didn't kill her. Amazing, amazing. Now, I'm saying all this to tell you that this chief suspect here, he's involved in security. And is involved in – now, this may change, and it's the way that I was perceiving it as I was reading it. But he's security for some, African nation – And then he was appointed by Waltz to some position in the Minnesota government. And here's the thing. He left some sort of a manifesto. He was big supporter of the King marches there. We have no king. And he apparently shot these two because they were promoting taking like welfare money away from illegal aliens. That's why he did it. Now, it may come out to be more than that, but right now, that is like I'm 95% sure that's why he did it, because there was a bruising battle in the House of Representatives over this issue 2 days ago. And I watched the speaker there talking about it, and she started crying. She said, but we had to do it. We had no choice. We had to do it. And then this here man assassinates both of them, who were the prime movers in doing this. Amazing, folks. Amazing. So it was the way it is panning out right now is Democrat operatives within the Minnesota government assassinated two Democrat politicians that didn't go along with the hard left agenda of giving everything to the illegal aliens. Incredible. I'm following this closely because I want to see how it turns out. Now, he's on the run. He got in a shootout with the police in the second house he went to. He escaped out back, drove off. They found his car, and he's disappeared. And there's a feeling that he may have escaped the country. That's the latest on this. But he was a Democrat operative that killed two top Democrats in Minnesota because they didn't go along with, I'm going to call it, the anti-Trump agenda. Amazing. Greg is here. Brother Greg is here. Hello, Brother Greg.
Hello. Yeah, that's pretty bad. What went out down there, huh?
Were you able to follow what happened in Minnesota on this, Brother Greg?
Yeah, but it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's a Democrat. He's a Democrat operative who assassinated two Democrats because they didn't go along with the open border type thing. The borders are closed now, but this is open to pay all but support them for Medicaid and support them for welfare and all of that. Amazing. Amazing. This is a very interesting article here about I followed this case because it was from Texas, and it was about a father trying to protect his son from his crazy wife who thinks the boy should be a girl, and they are apparently divorced. And she wants her son to go through all of this hormone treatment to become a transgendered girl. And the Texas judge gave in to the mother and transferred the case to California, where she's from. The father's in Texas. So the Texas court ruled in favor of the mother to begin these treatments for the boy. The boy, I saw pictures of the boy. He looks to be about 8 years old, maybe 10 at the most. So what happened was President Trump issued an executive order banning all of these transgender procedures to young children. Now, the adults, of course, they can do what they want, but to protect the children. And just as this hospital in California agreed, the California hospitals are agreeing not to do like the genetic, the hormones, and do any operations on minors. They stopped it. and his son has been spared. Isn't that something, Greg?
Yeah. And then before that, we had that thing with the Pfizer vaccine kills 470,000 Americans.
Yes.
Just to be lightweight
yes.
with it.
Yes.
I mean, this is nuts. I mean, those Cuomos are, they're disgusting.
You mean Cuomo from New York?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're disgusting.
A
lot of those who are in the nursing homes.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just really, really, really bad.
We knew that when the COVID situation was breaking. We knew from following the media what Cuomo done, the governor of New York. And
yeah.
He wrote a memo from his, or it was a memo from his top medical people in his administration, ordering the hospitals to send infected COVID patients back into the nursing homes. And it ended up killing like somewhere around 20,000 elderly, 20,000. And he lied about it.
I got right here, 470,000.
No, he didn't kill that many, Greg.
Well, maybe not just Cuomo's.
Right,
but
right.
That's what they
right.
were doing.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So he lied to Congress, and of course Biden wouldn't do anything about that. But now that Trump is in, they brought Cuomo back, and he lied again to Congress. So they have forwarded his case for perjury to the U.S. attorney in Washington, D.C. Now, I think he should be tried for mass murder, but I don't know if they can do that or not. But, I mean, anything, Greg, anything for a little bit of justice in here on the part of the elderly. All right, Trump.
But you remember they were flying around the nursing homes. The people wanted to get their relatives out of those nursing homes, and Cuomo's wouldn't do it.
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't allow it. And poor old grandmas and grandpas and, you know, moms and dads and aunts and uncles, they were in those nursing homes and they were dying in there, and they wouldn't let the families come in to see them. They wouldn't let them. So I had tears in my eyes as I watched that. So we're going to see.
I know another one that's just about almost as bad. The lady, she was a lady doctor, you know, knew how to do all the stuff and everything, and she did not want to do that Pfizer vaccine or anything. So she tried to stop, but it was like 300 people had to take those shots. From what it was, an army deal. I mean, this is crazy. Making people that are in the army to take the Pfizer shots.
Hey, I got a little good news for you. There was one of those nurses that you're talking about. Anyways, she faked giving the shots.
Good.
They didn't get shots. They got like water injected or whatever it was.
That's good.
And there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. But then they found out, and she was arrested, and I don't know whatever happened to her, but there was one nurse in the military. I lost touch about what happened. There were who knows how many soldiers she protected by not giving them the shot.
Right. There's in my neighborhood here where I live, the same thing is went down but they were both Russians. Can you imagine that? The U.S. government getting Russians to come in and give them the Pfizer shots. I mean, come on. I mean, and she wouldn't give it to any of them. She wouldn't take the shots, but she said that they were watching her and they had to. It's disgusting. It's really, really bad.
All right. let's go charging forward here. Every single Democrat governor sided with the professional agitators there. So every one of the governors, and they every one of them was against Trump. Amazing vote. Oh. So I mean, we're really divided as a nation now. There's something going on. I've been talking to quite a few people, and I've mentioned it here. The Democrats have lost the ability to reason. Now, let me tell you what's happened here now. They've all lied. Trump was not arresting mothers and fathers and little babies and all. He was going after murderers and gang members and all of that. But the Democrats kept on saying, and then that one guy, Garcia, they were defending him and defending him. They called him a Maryland man because he was from Maryland. Now he's been indicted. They've been quiet about him. But the rioters there in Los Angeles, Trump caused it. They were arresting, criminals, illegal alien criminals. And they've disturbed the neighborhood. Well, that's the way life is. I mean, law enforcement has a job to do, and you can't have murderers and gang dealers and traffickers just walking freely in your neighborhood. That's the job of law enforcement. And all of them are saying it now. They disturbed the neighborhood. The neighborhoods were peaceful. Trump did this. He's going after peaceful illegal, and they don't even say illegal aliens. They say peaceful migrants. They're keeping it up. And now they're just saying it as a matter of fact, right? It's all, they don't try and defend that it's the federal government is trying to remove dangerous illegal aliens. That doesn't come up. It's Trump is evil. Trump is destroying communities. Trump is wicked. He's a fascist. He's this, he's that. And that's all they're saying now. There's no debate. There's no debate about what he's doing, getting these criminals off the streets and out of the country. It's all, he's evil. He's destroying peaceful immigration communities. He's doing this on purpose. Even when he had the parade, the military parade yesterday, some of their comments was he's doing that to intimidate anybody that would stand against him. He's showing the army. Now, this was planned months ago. Months ago. I think it was planned like November after he was elected. He planned this. And everything, Brother Greg, is Trump, just like it was, and no truth in it, no truth. They're just trying to gin up and raise up a base here, and it's for revolution. You could see it, what they're doing. It's for revolution. They are such hatred in them. They rather destroy the country than have it turn back to the way it should be, right? I can see it clear as a bell. Clear as a bell. They have such anger in them and lies and more lies. We need a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit now, to head this off, to win millions out of this. It's a cult, right? It is literally a cult mentality. That's operating here with these people now. Their minds are gone, Greg. You cannot reason with these people. They're gone. And they think, and they're self-righteous. They're saving America from Trump with the immigration policy he's doing and destroying the immigrant communities in our cities. He's evil. He specifically targeting these communities because he's evil. And we need constant prayer on this. We do. And we need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is beyond politics now.
Also, out of Florida.
What about Florida?
Florida is one of the best ones out of the whole bunch. They got a thing on it. They said confirms, excuse me, Pfizer vaccine killed over 470,000 Americans. And Florida is the only one with enough guts to come out with it. And I imagine where you're at, everybody's got the guts to go out along with it.
Well, there's a case against Fauci in court here in Texas. Texas has joined, I think, 9 other states in suing him for, mass murder. And you're talking about the Surgeon General of Florida who made that announcement, and they based it on checking medical records and Social Security records and Medicaid records and all of that. You know, and they could tell the day that people got shots from these records and when they got sick and when they died. So they're making direct connections now just through, you know, by the digital, with the records all being digitized, that they can do incredible things. So that's how they're tying in so many died from that. But also, Florida, was very, very, what would be the word, out front against these terrorists that were protesting. The governor had the National Guard out. The National Guard was out here in Texas. But I heard a sheriff warn that his officers aren't taking anything. They're not taking being spit at. They're not taking rocks being thrown or anything like that. And then the governor came out to tell to reinforce the law of Florida that if you're in your car and you are trapped in your car by rioters there, and they start acting in a way that your life is threatened, you are justified to drive through the crowd to get away. That's Florida law. I heard Governor DeSantis say that yesterday, warning the rioters, do not trap people in their cars. They have a right to do whatever is necessary to get away from being trapped in their cars like that. Okay. I want to talk. Here's some really good stuff also. There's tremendous good information. I'm looking at articles I posted here, and I'm saying, oh, this is a good one. I got to get it out. I got to get this one out. Oh, and this one over here. So here's what happened. The U.S. Embassy in Tel Aviv boycotted the Pride Parade. Trump issued this, where in the past, Biden would have us right in the middle of supporting it. So we did not support the Pride Parade in Tel Aviv. Now notice what city is being pounded by Iran missiles, Brother Greg? What Israeli city?
You mean like... Not on our side of the fence, but...
I'll repeat it. Which Israeli city is being targeted and pummeled by the Iranian missiles?
I don't know.
Tel Aviv.
But I
Tel Aviv.
Oh, Tel Aviv. Okay.
And where does the big homosexual parade take place?
No.
Tel Aviv. So in Tel Aviv, they're in bomb shelters. There's bomb shelters all over Israel. So when they have these apartment buildings, under the apartment buildings, they have bomb shelters. And a lot of people have been saved by this. There is numbers of people who would have died when those missiles hit directly hit the apartment building. So anyways, the very center of the homosexual, quote, pride parade in June is now being pummeled by the rest of this. There's been a couple that have hit Haifa, but almost exclusively Tel Aviv is being heavily, heavily damaged. So maybe their pride parade will be canceled this year. Now, this is really, really good, folks. It's something we've been praying about for years now. It says vulnerable same-sex marriage invention, that's by the Supreme Court, could soon come tumbling down. Now, finally, a major, I'm going to say, American denomination, which would be the Southern Baptist, have stood up in mass, and they're vocal against the Supreme Court decision recognizing homosexual marriage. So, because the church has been so silent about this. Now, we've prayed about it, and we've repented and called on the Lord about this, because this is humiliating. This is God's first institution he created, and they're defiling it. So let me just read this and let's talk about it. The Southern Baptists called on the Supreme Court to overturn the same-sex marriage, quote, right, created by the decision. The legal team already working on the project issued a statement that the ruling biased because at the time two justices had publicly advocated for the creation, and that was Ginsburg and the other, I don't know who it was, but they are advocating something that they made a Supreme Court decision about. That's a conflict of interest. The decision unleashed on America in 2015 had no connection to or foundation in the U.S. Constitution. Absolutely correct. This decision from the 5-4 majority said, in fact, although it cites the 14th Amendment that doesn't mention marriage, the Constitution doesn't mention marriage, meaning that the issue legally needs to be left to the states under the 10th Amendment. So all the groundwork is there to have this decision reversed and given to the states. There's nothing in the Constitution anywhere talking about marriage. They made it up in that decision. They absolutely took law into their own hands and made it up. So now the Southern Baptists are challenging, and apparently they got legal support for this, and with some prayer. Now, this is something we got to keep regularly in prayer, that the Lord would move, because this here is a blight on the nation, and this offends our Father in heaven. This is highly offensive to him. This is the type of stuff that God judges a nation for.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So, I'm excited about this. I could hardly believe what I was reading when I saw this. So God bless the Southern Baptists there for their stand, and let's everybody rally around them, at least with prayer, at least with prayer. Okay. Now there's a battle going on a little bit behind the scenes. It's a little bit out in the open here, both, between Mexico and the United States, and the Mexicans see a weakness here, the Mexican government. And they are openly supporting the Los Angeles rioters, because so many of them are Mexican. So the article says Mexico is complicit in the L.A. riots, and there should be consequences. So the I don't know what the leader's title, president's probably president of Mexico, Sheinbaum is her name, is coming out and telling that Mexicans that are living in the U.S. are heroes, and denounced President Trump's attempt to enforce federal immigration law. We agree with this approach to the migration phenomenon, Sheinbaum said during a press conference. Conference is reported by, well, it doesn't matter. It is about raids, or it's not about raids or violence, but rather working on a comprehensive reform that takes into account that Mexicans on the other side of the border, she said, that's our position. Always a call for peace, nor extraordinary form of violent protest. She added that Mexican nationals in the U.S. are not criminals, but good, honest men and women who work or seek a better life for themselves and support their families. In other words, the president of Mexico has sided with the rioters, of course, waving Mexican flags over and against federal authorities attempting to force U.S. immigration law on American soil. The irony here is that Mexico does not allow foreign nationals to engage in any political activities in Mexico, including protests. Mexico has incredibly severe immigration laws. What's going on here is impossible in Mexico based on Mexican laws. So what she's doing is she's almost coming out, and not because other Mexican politicians have, and say the Mexicans have a right to live in other words, you don't have to become an American citizen, or you don't need a visa. You just walk across the border and find a place to live and get a job. That's all you got to do, because California and Texas are all really part of Mexico. That's what they're doing. And this is very dangerous, because they might be sweeping, they might be forming like a mass uprising by the Mexicans, and who knows, maybe the Guatemalans and Hondurans and all may join with them to try and get California to secede from the Union and other states, because there's so many Mexicans in it, and they do not recognize the U.S. border. And I actually have been warning for this for quite a while. This is coming from the Mexican government. Now, here's another article. La Reconquista, that's a Spanish word, and it means retake. Mexican Senate President floats a plan to annex part of the United States as illegal aliens continue to cause mayhem in L.A. So they tried to do this years ago and it didn't get traction. And they're trying to do it again now, where they believe that the United States, well, in fact, let me read this to you folks, and then I want to add some more to this. One of the most powerful leaders in Mexico is floating a plan for his country to seize a large chunk of the United States land as the riots in Los Angeles continue to rage. Senator Gerardo, I can't pronounce his last name, the president of the Mexican Senate, responded to mayhem on Monday by promoting La Reconquista, a radical idea supported by individuals who want the American Southwest returned to Mexico. Now, folks, this is the Mexican government saying this, and I've already mentioned this. They want an uprising there, where the people will be like millions will say uprising, and then Mexico is going to come in and say you belong to that part of California that all belongs to Mexico. Come back to Mexico, and they're going to try and tear America apart. He wants the Southwest America returned to Mexico. In his remarks to reporters in Mexico City, he revealed that he once told Trump he supported building and paying for a wall if it included the U.S. territories that were once part of Mexico. I was at the Trump Tower when President-elect Donald Trump was days away from taking the oath of office for his first time. I said, yes, we'll build a wall. Yes, we'll pay for it, but we'll do it according to the map of Mexico from 1830. Noria then held up an 1830 map, which shows the states of California, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and as part of Mexico. If you can see maybe a third or at least a quarter of North American territory was part of Mexico until 1846, he explained, we were stripped of these territories. These are dangerous. And I've been telling you that I know history about this, and I know that those Texas and California, all legally within no being stolen whatsoever from Mexico, I know the history of it. I know how it came about, and it was all Mexico's fault, folks. The Mexican War of 1846, the Mexican-American War, was started by Mexico, not the United States. Now, the American haters will side, they're siding in with Mexico, and they want you to be ashamed. They want to take the moral high ground from us as Americans and think that we're evil and we stole Texas and California and Arizona from Mexico when we didn't. We didn't. So I did spend time today. I did spend time yesterday. I really did all the research. I found some very interesting, more than I knew before. And I think you'll be really blessed. I'm going to put maps up and show you some very important maps and all. We can talk.
Hey, Jeff.
Yes, Charles.
Hey, I don't mean to interrupt, Jeff, but two things have happened since we've been on, since you've been on the air. They caught the guy in Minnesota, and it says it's coming across now that Israel's bombing Ayatollah's neighborhood in North Tehran.
Okay. Well, I'm very glad that they caught the that assassin. And Israel has every right if they want to take out the Ayatollah. I mean, President Trump really can't stop him. I don't think he's going to break relations with Israel over taking out an Ayatollah. So, all right. Well, thank you for sharing that. All right. So, in case this becomes a real issue where they're trying to legitimize Texas and New Mexico and Arizona, Colorado, California, Utah, as being part of America, absolutely, it's totally legal and moral what happened.
John?
Who's yelling at me? Yes.
I don't understand. You and these other people, they talk about Mexico wanting that territory back. There was something called the Gladstone Purchase. The United States purchased those territories from Mexico, the Gladstone Purchase. They purchased Louisiana from the French. They purchased Alaska from the Russians. And they purchased that Southwest territory from the Mexicans under the Gladstone Purchase.
That was the Mexican-American War. Wasn't it?
John? Randy.
Yeah?
Randy, I'm going to ask during the second hour, I'm not interrupted. The third hour is, that's what it's for. The third hour, we can discuss everything. Randy, The Gladstone purchase did not purchase Texas. It did not purchase California. It did not purchase Arizona. It purchased a strip of land in southern Arizona that filled in, I guess you would call it a straight boundary that Mexico went into a treaty with us and we purchased it. It had nothing to do with the war, the Mexican-American War of 1846 and the treaty that followed and all of that. It had nothing, Randy, to do with it. You're right. Texas was not purchased. Texas was the Texas Republic that joined the Union. But California was not purchased. It was a result of Mexico losing the war in 1848.
Well, how did they get those other states? Because at the time in 1846, that extension of the U.S. was larger than what the Louisiana Purchase had been.
We got it by war. Mexico surrendered to the United States.
So there was a war. Took over those states?
They surrendered to the United States, and they agreed that that land would become part of the United States. It's the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. And in that, we also agreed to give Mexico $15 million for the land, and we would forgive millions of dollars in citizens' claims against Mexico for damage.
So they purchased it, right?
No, Yeah, you could say that they purchased it in a sense, but we didn't purchase it like we did the Louisiana Purchase from Napoleon, that we bought it. This here, Mexico surrendered, and they agreed to it. And we said part of it, because Mexico was like completely defeated and it was bankrupt and everything, we gave them $15 million.
We gave them $15 million for the land.
Yes.
To me, that's a purchase.
No, they surrendered it.
Sure, they surrendered it, but they got money.
Because they surrendered, and out of our graciousness, we gave them $15 million. We could have taken all of Mexico, Randy. Mexico was vanquished at the end of the war. In fact, America thought about taking all of Mexico, but it was too big and the language was too, we couldn't handle all of Mexico because of the different language and the size of it. So we agreed, we made the decision that we were going to take this land from Mexico because they surrendered and they agreed to it. They had no choice but to agree to it. Okay. The land, the Gadsden Purchase, we outright purchased it. We went into we didn't have a war with them. We outright decided, if you look at a map, you can understand why. But it was like kind of even out the bottom of Arizona. And it wasn't big, but they agreed, I think it was like 1903, Mexico agreed to, for so much money, that we purchased the land from. We didn't purchase
We live in a suburb of Tucson, and I think that was within that Gladstone Purchase, but I'm not sure.
That I don't know.
Thanks for the information, John.
Okay.
Remember the Alamo.
Gilead. Yeah. So I'm putting this all together to show you that Mexico would just not accept Texas being annexed by the United States, and that's why they provoked war with the United States over Texas being annexed, and that started the war. So I want everybody to know how that war started. that we ended up with, well, actually, Texas was the, it was the Republic of Texas. It was not a, it was its own country, and it was recognized by six European countries. It was recognized by the United States, and I might as well just tell you, I'll quickly just give you a summation here. Mexico was threatening war with Texas. Texas wanted the covering of the United States. It wanted to be a part of America, to be protected from Mexico. President Polk went into negotiations with Mexico over Texas. At the end, the bottom line was Mexico would have no negotiations. They ended the negotiations, and they wanted Texas back. Our army was in Texas because it was part of the United States at that point. Our army was north of the Rio Grande. The Mexican army crossed the Rio Grande, attacked our army, killed 63 soldiers, and wounded many others. And because of that act by Mexico crossing the Rio Grande, attacking the American army, the United States declared war on Mexico. That's exactly what happened. Exactly. The war lasted 2 years. The Mexican army was devastated as a result of it. Mexico City fell and other places. And the Mexican were helpless, and they sued for peace. And we provided the peace treaty, which they signed and agreed. And that peace treaty gave New Mexico, Arizona, California. I'm not sure about Oregon. It may have went up as far as Oregon. Utah, Colorado, to the United States. And in return, we forgave their debt that they owed. Mexico was being sued by American citizens for being damaged during the war. Mexico did not have to repay, and we gave them $15 million. Now they're claiming that that was all illegal, and that all those nations or all those states belong to Mexico. And what I want to do is put this all down on paper, and with all the backup that's needed, to show the truth that we don't have to be intimidated, because we don't know. You know, who knows details about the Mexican-American War of 1846? And who knows about the two treaties that were involved in all, and the Republic of Texas and how it became part of the Union? So I want to put that down on paper so we know in case this, unless they're going to, because the Democrats will go along with it. They will, folks. The Democrats will go along. I could just see it now. The Democrats in the United States, I can see the Mexican government, and I could see all of these illegal aliens that Biden let in rising up and saying, you know, we want to be back with Mexico. We want to be back with Mexico. And Democrats, that would be a perfect way to, like, dissolve the country, certainly big parts of it. Okay, so we are into the last hour, and I have some other things. Okay, here, I'll show you. There's an American politician here. Let me get him out and show you. I don't know his name. Okay, here it is. Representative Burchett, B-U-R-C-H-E-T-T. Slams California and Mexico leaders for endorsing invasion of the U.S. This is a U.S. congressman. This quote from him. You've got a group of foreigners who are waving a foreign flag and protesting in our country, he continued. You've also seen the Mexican president call for disruption in our country as well. that reeks of an invasion to me. I think we better be very careful. They're going to poke the bull too many times. President Trump is not Joe Biden. He is not going to be on some beach in Delaware, Burchett said. So, I mean, this is being seen. What I'm explaining to you is people see it. I mean, this happens to be a congressman, and he wrote about it, how the Mexican government is coordinating here with people riding in the streets with Mexican flags. And the Democrats, what I saw them say, it was good. It was diversity. They saw it as diversity. So the integrity of the United States is at stake, folks. This is as serious as it can get. I could see his name near the governor, Newsom, and the mayor of Los Angeles. I'm not making this up. I actually believe it. I could see them saying, California is better off being part of Mexico, you know, and I want to be part of Mexico and be the governor of California in Mexico. I could see it. Just look at the way they act. They hate this country. They hate America, doing everything they can to destroy it. All right, there's just all sorts of stuff about the riots in California. I don't even know where to begin on it. It's just so much stuff here tying in about the riots. Judges put a restraining order against the president for the use of the National Guard, and then it's reversed, and he does have the order. There's a politician in New Jersey arrested for interfering with ICE. So she's just been indicted and faces 17 years. There's a woman in the state representative from Minnesota that publicly announced she was an illegal alien. She got up on the floor of the house there in Minnesota and said that she's an illegal alien. And she's an elected politician. There's big investigations going on to see where money is coming in from foreign countries, and that's supporting the L.A. rioters. So the Department of Justice has a huge investigation going now. This never would have been done on the Biden, never. So they're going to try and dry up the money now for these rioters. ICE is preparing to deploy in 5 Democrat-run cities to get the criminal element there. Seattle, Chicago, Philadelphia, New York City, and Northern Virginia are sanctuary strongholds where local leaders have long thumb their noses at federal authorities shielding criminal illegal aliens. All right, that really, I kind of buzzed through it here at the end, but we'll open this third hour up to any questions and comments. You can call in, folks. If you have any questions, call in, please, 717-409-5553. 717-409-5553. Sister Rita, do you have any questions or comments?
Just that I'm really enjoying the program, and that I just love Sunday nights because I get informed with what is happening around the country. So I just love Sunday nights. So thank you for doing this on Sunday nights.
All right. I'm glad you're blessed. All right, Sister.
Yes, I am.
Sister Sharon, any questions or comments?
Well, I don't have any questions because I think it's all right in our faces, and it's easily understandable to see what they're doing. And I just, I sit here and I'm wiggling my feet, listening to it all being repeated and everything. And it's just very frustrating. And so what is going to get done about it? Nothing.
Done about what did you say?
Is nothing going to get done about what's going on, you know, in our country. And, you know, with all the rioting and the anti-Trumpers and stuff, and they're just going to let it just go off on itself. It's go do what they're doing, and nobody's going to stop it. It's like when Seattle...
No, that's where you got to pray. No, Sister Sharon. No. No. We got to have the Lord has done so much, Sharon. So much.
Right.
I mean, if Trump wasn't elected, imagine where we'd be now. So,
right. Oh, well, yeah. We need to pray. I agree with that.
Yeah.
So what I was saying, as a general principle, that the people, if they're not going to get up and move and do anything.
Then you can't pray, Sister Sharon. You got to have the attitude. If the Lord's taken us this far, and amazing things He's done, He's going to take us to the next step, and the next step will require prayer. Otherwise, you'll be you can't really pray with faith with that.
Right.
And I know what the past has been like, because I've been as frustrated as you. But this is a new season, Sister Sharon. This is a new season. And God is doing mighty exploits at this time now. So our job is to pray. And if necessary, take action. But sometimes there's very little things we can do other than really pray. So we need a lot of prayer, getting involved in the Lord to move. But the big thing, the bottom line, the big thing is the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's the big thing. That's the remedy for all our problems. That's the remedy.
All right? Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah. Paula Jean, again, if you want to have any questions or comments, call in 717-409-5553. Paula Jean?
Yes. I am appreciative that you have done the research, and I just pray that they don't proceed any further with their action. And I'm not too sure who would rise up on our behalf. I pray President Trump would have the information that he needs, and others who would have the right to, you know, take the offense. But I just, Father God, I lift this situation up to you. You know the truth, and I pray for wisdom for all those who would be assigned the responsibility of seeing that this doesn't happen. And I pray that it be resolved with the least amount of harm and damage, both to our land and to our people and to their people. And I just give it to you and pray that many others are doing so also. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Charles. Hello, Brother Charles.
Hey, Jeff. There was one other thing coming across the wire. Sometimes it's hard to tell with these things. But it said drone aimed at U.S. consulate in Iraqi Kurdistan capital of Erbil has been shot down. So maybe if Iran starts to go after, you know, U.S., if they're starting to go after the United States, whether it's our bases or consulates, embassies, that Trump will get in. I think at that point.
That's the issue with Iran. You know, is Iran going to be involved in attacking our embassies, our bases? I don't know, maybe civilian centers where there's a lot of Americans. That'll draw. That's what me and Dave were talking about first,
yes, sir.
You know, part of the show. Is Iran crazy enough to do it? I don't know how much destruction they could cause on our end, but certainly our military could do incredible destruction to Iran. So I don't think that they're crazy enough to do it. Now, Dave seems to think they are, but I don't think the Ayatollahs are crazy enough to do that when look what Israel's doing to them.
Yes, sir. You know?
So that's my opinion, but you can't be too sure with them because of their craziness.
Oh, I know. It's just that Shia fanaticism, you know, this is strange, but, you know, hopefully they will, Israel will finish him off. Now, the only thing I worry about with killing Ayatollah, like you said, is making him into a martyr.
Right.
That would be bad.
Right. Right. That's the big problem there, is them becoming martyrs. And then you could, you know, it could be 10 times worse.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, champ. I appreciate all the info.
Okay. And now Eve has come in. Hello, Eve.
Hi, Chaplain John. How are you?
I'm tired tonight, to tell you the truth.
Oh, yeah, I know. I was listening in again, and I was listening to most of the conversations. So I had to call in because I don't got that thing yet. But anyways, first of all, like you said, God bring us this far. And it's not us. It is God. And and like you said, it is for us to pray and continue to fight the good fight of faith. And another comment is, what does the word say? Are we fighting against flesh and blood?
Right.
No, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of the air. So that's another thing of prayer. That's what we are to do. And back in 2016, I think of, nobody expected Trump to win that. Even my husband did it. He stayed up for the whole thing. It's the Lord. It's our prayers. We need to stop our own thinking and get onto his ways and to stay onto his ways of thinking and stop putting our own ideas. What if this? What if that? I mean, it's part of our the flesh. We got to get onto let God be God. You know, like he said, he'll fight our battles. Look how many times in the Old Testament, I mean, how the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. I mean, he parted the Red Sea. What does that tell us? You know, how, you know, he tells us to have faith. And, we all do struggle at times, and God is so great. But we need to stop our own ways of thinking and have, like, faith, you know, build our faith. And, I have another good, great comment. It's about, they had a thing, I was looking on YouTube, I look for the Christian programmings. Another good, great thing, they had it on YouTube, that where they had that for his birthday out in California, I think it was, yeah, I think it was California Today, or I don't know what day it was, but anyways, they were going down the streets, and there were tons of people, supporters of Trump, and it doesn't matter, God forbid, but he put him there. But you know what, we have been praying and crying out. Brazil, a lot of people out in Brazil support him. I saw that before, they, you know, and in Mexico, I saw another, like, there were supporters out there. There's a lot of Hispanic people. I mean, there's, even if it's not, you know what, the remnant, it's God said he would defend us. And his first chosen people are the apple of his eye, and so are we. He gave his only begotten son. We got to get this heart of ours and make sure it and get it under the word of the Lord. I'm just saying that for myself and preaching to the choir. So I just wanted to put that out there, Chaplain John. There's things that we're not even aware of at times, but we got to keep praying and fasting and seeking the Lord and looking to him, because he's our Redeemer. He's our shield and buckler. And I think I heard also one thing that it was the Civil War. And there was like the North was fighting the South. But anyways, a lot of troops that were, it was awful that were supposed to die or something. I don't know. We saw it on the History Channel a long time ago, my husband and I. But they were all like shot and wounded. Anyways, the area that they were in, that where they fell, that was something about where they fell, and they were supposed to. A lot of people thought they were going to die overnight, but they didn't. I forgot how they were protected, but the Lord protected them through all that. The North faces the South. I forgot what they called it though, but it was something in the mud or something like that that drew them or kept them from bleeding to death or something like that. There's so many things. There's so many testimonies. Even when my dad, he was in the Korean War, and they had some things about the frozen chosen and how they got back to the South Korea instead of being trapped up there towards North Korea. We got to start thinking, look at all those things that God already has done.
Yeah.
To encourage ourselves, to encourage one another.
Well, that's exactly what I do, looking at the great outpourings of the Holy Spirit in America. And we look at what God did in the past. And basically, they cried out to him for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And God answered and sent tremendous moves of the Spirit to change America. So that's what we do now.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
And we don't look just to the right or to the left or
right.
Anything like that. And we don't pay attention to the naysayers, you know, and
right.
It's too evil. America is too much sin. God can't send. Yes, he can. If you pray, he can. So
yes, he will. And look at with George Washington. I remember when he was in, I think it was like one of the last battles. I can't remember word for word, but I just remember that where they thought that they were going to be defeated, and he got down on his knees. And it was like.
That was in Valley Forge. It was in the winter at Valley Forge.
He got down on his knees, and he needed help because they were going to go under. And then they sent but the Lord had to. It was a Polish general, and Pulaski, because we celebrated out here in Chicagoland area. So that man came along, and he asked him if he wanted help, but he thought he would be committing treason if he took his help, but then they needed it, so he took it, and he taught those men, the men, how to fight. And thank God, the Lord had sent that man, and they won that battle. So I think that's the one that you're talking about. But I was reading it, and I said, "That's God." Okay. Man prayed, George Washington, one man. So
we're going to be praying soon. So let me keep an eye on here who also wants to maybe discuss with us.
I got something.
All right, Brother Greg.
It's a Polish man that was in my hometown. It's they made a great big thing, Kashmir Pulaski. Did you ever hear of him?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. A lot of good people.
All right. Well, I think what we're going to do is we're going to hold, we'll have some prayer now, and then we'll call it a night. And exciting things are happening, folks. Our job is to keep looking straight ahead and pray. And just the Lord is moving. This is a season when God is moving, and he's done incredible things, and he's continuing to do incredible things. So let's keep in prayer. So I'm going to lead in prayer, and if you want to pray also, that's fine. Father, we thank you. Abba, Father, we thank you so much, Lord. We thank you for all the answers to prayer, Lord, how in despair we would have been if Harris had been elected, Lord, and what the things she'd be doing and promoting, Lord, it would be awful. It would be absolutely dreadful and awful. But you spared us, Lord. We thank you for being spared. So, Lord, we see all of this happening, and we're asking now the remedy for it. You've given us a political, really, revival already. And we're asking, Lord, for a great, great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord. I just saw, like, over the weekend, there were 8,000 baptisms in various churches, Lord, and throughout the country. 28,000. Lord, we pray for 100,000 and then 500,000 and a million, Lord. We're not satisfied without huge amounts of souls coming to you, Lord. Huge amounts. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you and thank you, Lord. And we can't thank you enough, Lord. We're praying for these people that are so lost politically, Lord. I mean, I'm at loss for words, Lord, how lost they are. Lost reality, Lord. They've literally lost reality. But Lord, your Holy Spirit can dig deep into them, Lord, and bring them out of this, Lord, and give them a sound mind. And that's what we're asking for, a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that'll sweep through all of these lost, Lord, millions that are lost, Lord. That's what we're asking for, a great move of the Spirit, Lord, changing people, changing their minds, their attitudes, Lord, and lining up with you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, we pray for Israel and the protection of Israel, Lord, as this is a dogfight now, Lord. And I thank you that Iran does not have any nuclear weapons, because Israel's a small country, Lord, and one bomb like that can do enormous damage. So, Lord, we're asking for the protection of Israel. Where it talks about an iron dome. I'm asking that you're the iron dome. You're the protection. You'll throw these missiles off course, Lord, and prevent them from doing tremendous damage. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We praise you and thank you. Thank you for your prophetic word, Lord, the word of God, which it's a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path, Lord. In this hour of darkness, we've got lit up, Lord, illuminated by your word. Thank you. Thank you. Praise you and thank you. We can't thank you enough. And so, Lord, that the wicked will be bound here in the name of Jesus. It can't run amok anymore. And that it's going to be bound by the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you and thank you now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, and amen. Brother Greg, do you have anything you want to pray for now, please?
Well, I think everybody knows the Lord, and the Bible says there's only one way into the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, it's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. So we have tonight a bunch of people here that have gotten saved and that are born again, and they're looking forward to seeing that blessed hope. And great God Almighty, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Anybody else have, Paula Jean, do you have a word in, at the end here? Yeah, Paula Jean.
Can I pray? All
right. Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, Sharon, we're waiting on you.
I muted myself. I'm sorry. I'm just talking here, right? Yeah, okay. Oh, my goodness. Dear Father God, I just come before you, and I just want to pray so thankful for all that you have done for our country. We were a country that was started under your biblical principles and about you, dear Father God, and we just need to have this continue. And we need the power and the strength and the belief that it can continue and it will continue. And I just thank you, dear Father, for everybody who's here in this prayer room to pray to you about this. And I am just so happy that we can be here together and pray. And I just hope that Stephen John gets some good rest and stuff. And I hope he enjoyed Father's Day today, along with all the other fathers out there. And I just am so thankful that we are going to be getting back onto our regular schedule. And that I pray that, again, that Stephen John gets some rest with this. And he did a wonderful, wonderful thing this week doing Vacation Bible School. And it takes a lot of effort to do that with a bunch of happy-go-lucky children and stuff. And I'm sure that they were blessed, that they learned something about you, dear Father God, by listening to Chaplain John. And I just want to say thank you, dear Father, for blessing me for being here. I want to say thank you for blessing my son for being able to take care of me. And just everything that's around me and everything is, it's just wonderful just to know that you have set this up. You are the one who are is ultimately taking care of me and saying how things will go. And so, dear Father, I just want to say thank you. And we will be looking forward to prayer time tomorrow. And then again, hopefully with Pastor Fred tomorrow evening. And we're just going to really look forward to enjoying our whole week with praying to you, listening to teachings and preachings, especially about the broken heart, the healing of the broken heart, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's just so important that we pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit for our entire country, and we stand firm on that prayer, and we pray it again and again and again, and never give up on that, dear Father God, because you haven't given up on us, and we don't want anybody to give up on you and what you're doing for us. In your name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, Sister Sharon. Sister Rita?
Okay. Father, I give you thanks for today and all that you have given to me. And Father, I give you thanks for this prayer group that we are able to come together and pray to you and your son. Father, I'm holding on to that promise, Father, that you give into the that you give us in the Bible, and that you have says that you have said that if we ask anything in your son's name, that you will give it to us, Father. I'm holding on, Father, to that promise that you have gave to us, Father. I pray, Father, that you would heal and forgive America, Father, And I've asked that you would protect us, Father, from the, all the people that wants to bring down America. I pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in America, Father. I pray that the Christians in America will take a stand for you, Father, and that they will love you with all their whole heart, soul, and mind. I pray, Father, that you will put a hedge of protection around President Trump and lead him in the direction that you want him to take America, Father. And Father, I pray that President Trump will love you with all and your son with all his whole heart, soul, and mind. Father, I pray that you will protect Israel during this very difficult time that she is going through, Father. I pray that you bring peace to Israel. And then I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel, Father. Protect the IDF. And I pray that all these young men and women that are fighting for their country will come to the saving knowledge of your son before it's too late. And I pray, Father, and ask for that Netanyahu and his wife will come to the saving knowledge of your son, Father. Protect him from the evil men and women that wants to do him harm, Father. And I think there's a lot of them out there that wants to do Netanyahu harm, Father. And strengthen and encourage him, Father. And I pray, Father, for that you will bless everyone that is on me tonight in Rumble, X, Facebook, and that you will strengthen us and comfort us, Father. For I pray this all in the name of my Lord, my Savior, and my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Greg has prayed, Charles. Eve.
Yeah.
Do you have a word of prayer for us here?
Yes, thank you, Chaplain John. Father God, I agree with every Holy Spirit inspired prayer from everybody on this prayer line. Thank you for Chaplain John and all the men that are fathers and even help the people that are that they want to be that don't have children, but help the people that need help, and they're like fathers like that. And thank you, God, because it is Father's Day, and thank you, God, for being the best father of them all. And I thank you for all the love, and pray for the peace of Israel, and thank you for the downpouring of the Holy Spirit on all flesh. God, thank you, God, for working behind the scenes, and you're the lifter of our heads. And Father God, when Sharon was praying, I thank you for her again too, and everybody else on this prayer line. And she reminded me that it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. It's your joy, God. And you, your joy is, you laugh hysterically, God. And I just thank you for the joy of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. I think we covered everybody tonight. So I'm tired. And a nice day today preaching. It went very, very well. I covered for Pastor Dove. I was at his church, and people were blessed. I spoke to him. He called me on the way home, and he's told me just a whole load of souls, Hindus, came to Christ through his ministry there. And he'll be back Tuesday. So it was a good day today, me preaching there and then hearing the report of Pastor Dove over in India. So God bless everybody. Tomorrow morning we have prayer starting at 10 a.m. And remember, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
I am thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high, when redeemed again, redeemed. How we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed again, redeemed. Now when the redeemed again, redeemed, watch like snow at the cross. Story with our voices loud and long, when the redeemed again redeemed. Then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song, when the redeemed.